One of the delights of French culture is enjoying the many types of cheese that can accompany dinner, not as an appetizer, but served on a sampler plate after the main course or as dessert. Wisconsin native Kathy Lyson loves cheese. She's written The Whole Fromage to teach us about the impressive variety of traditional cheeses in France. I've got a sampler plate of artisan cheese and crackers in front of me, and Kathy joins us to assemble a typical cheese course that can bring a taste of France to your own table. Kathy, bonjour.
Thanks for having me, Rick.
Kathy, do you know this feeling when you go into a restaurant and you've had a nice meal, and then you get this incredible, usually a woven or some kind of a nice organic sort of dish, and it's got this amazing variety of cheese, and it's laid out right in front of you by a beautiful local person who explains each one to you, and it's just like, oh, baby, this is the climax of the meal?
Yes, absolutely.
What is it like? I mean, the colors, the fragrance, the elegance, and the love that each cheese is described to you. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I think that's one of the really wonderful things about France is, when you go into a French restaurant and you've, as you said, you've completed that meal and they bring out this wonderful cheese tray, you know, they'll sometimes tempt you with 20 or 30 different cheeses, and then they'll have you select three or four, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, and it's an excuse for more wine, beautiful red wine.
Yes.
It's an excuse for beautiful bread. It's an excuse to talk to the waiter or the waitress who just acts like cheese is sort of the definition of good living.
Yes, it's the soul of the soil, as they call it in French.
I love the way they have these, you know, the French will say, cheese is milk's leap toward immortality. I mean,
yes.
Whoa. And of course, I'm always talking about my friend in Paris that says, oh, it smells like the feet of angels. These Parisians, it's like they're evangelical
right.
about cheese. And when you
they
travel
are.
In France, I think it's a shame to miss the opportunity.
It is. It absolutely is.
How can we get the most out of our cheese experience when we go to France?
Well, I think it's helpful to know at least a little bit about tasting. I tend to not be a super meticulous taster. The French take it very, very seriously, or at least they can. And I think that can be fun. And I think it's also fun to just eat the cheese and enjoy it. So however you want to approach it is fine. Although, again, it can be a good time to have at least a little bit of vocabulary and a little bit of knowledge about how to approach it.
Okay, well, let's just take this example here because I got to admit, I am so excited. We, with your advice, we have bought some cheese. And I've got in front of me five or six beautiful pieces of cheese here with crackers. And they've each got a name on them. And we've got Camembert, we've got Comte, we've got Forme d'Ambert, we've got Bouche Chandré, and we've got Préféré du Fromis. Now, I don't know what those names all mean except for Camembert. But first of all, help me organize this. When you're having a cheese course, what do you start with? Is there a proper order for all of this?
Yeah, there definitely is. And the French are very clear that there's a proper order.
Which would I start with? Because I want to bite, first of all, while you're talking. What would the first one be?
The first one that I would start with, you always want to go from mildest to strongest.
Okay.
And typically, the goat cheese is always going to be the mildest on your plate. So I would start with the Bouche Chandré.
Bouche Chandré. Now, this has, just a minute, I'm going to just put a little on here. And it's got, hang on. Oh, that's creamy, it's smooth, and it's got this layer of ash. I mean, it looks like somebody dropped it in a fireplace on the edge of it.
Right.
What's with that?
Yeah, well, back in the good old days, they actually used to take ash from the bottom of the kettle that they had over the fire, and they would put that over the cheese basically to keep the flies off.
I'm eating it now. Is it good to eat?
It is good to eat. It's absolutely good to eat. It's one of those coatings that can kind of scare Americans. We're not used to seeing blackish-looking cheeses, but it's perfectly harmless. These days, it's sterile and factory-produced vegetable ash. So it's
it's made to order for this purpose here. They didn't roll it around in a fireplace.
Yes, absolutely. No, they did not.
Now, this is a goat cheese. So you start with the goat cheese.
Yes, start with the goat cheese. And the bouche in the name means log, and then cendré means cindered. So it's a cindered log, and it's from the Loire Valley.
It could look like a cinder. Now, there's different regions, so the Loire Valley would it be known for goat cheese?
It is, in fact, known for goat cheese, yes.
Okay.
And there's a very famous cheese there called Sainte-Maure de Touraine, and that's what your cheese is based off. You don't have that exact cheese in front of you because the Sainte-Maure de Touraine is AOC protected. It's got an appellation d'origine contrôlée. Or an AOC distinction, so it's name controlled and they can't export it.
So it's the same thing, but it's just from a different region and legally they can't call it that, like champagne or something.
That's right, exactly.
Okay. You know, we have this ash covering here and a lot of Americans are a little, like, not very confident about do I eat the skin or not, you know, because
exactly.
A lot of times it looks like you wouldn't eat it, but you do. What's your rule of thumb there for rookies when it comes to French cheese? When do I eat the skin?
So my rule of thumb is if it looks edible, go ahead and eat it. And if it doesn't, don't. Although that can be a little bit deceiving because the ash, you know, you, at first glance, you would look at that and think no. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, another good rule of thumb is if it's a softer cheese, you can eat the rind often.
Okay.
If it's a harder cheese, it tends to be like a protective coating, and they'll get shipped in that and sort of handled in that rind, so and you don't really want to eat that rind.
This is basically the skin of a bunch of mold, right?
It is, yeah.
All right. Hey, now, we're doing this cheese course, and I just did my goat cheese with the ash covering from the Loire called the cinder log, bouche cendre. What would the next cheese be on my course?
So next, I would probably go to the camembert.
Camembert. Okay, now we know what that looks like. It's got a typical round hockey puck kind of look, I guess.
That's right, yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to dig into that while you're talking, but tell us about camembert. Now, I can eat the skin on this one, obviously.
You can, yes, okay. You absolutely, and in fact, you absolutely should. It's kind of a waste to go ahead and scrape those rinds off the soft cheeses.
You lose half the cheese, for one thing.
That's right. It's a difficult task, and it's completely unnecessary.
Okay.
So the one that you have there, the French one you have, is called le pommier, which means the apple tree, and it's comes from the calves of Hervé Mons, who is this famous French cheesemonger, and his calves are outside of Lyon.
Calves? You're not talking little baby cows, you're talking caves.
Calves, I'm sorry, yes, caves.
All right, so this is made in a cave?
It's aged in a cave. So what people like Hervé Mons do, he's called it what's called an affineur in French, or a cheese ager.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't actually make cheese himself. He goes out and he finds makers who make really good cheeses, and then he takes them back and ages them to perfection in his cave.
I'm talking with Kathy Lyson, and she's written a book called The Whole Fromage, and it's talking about the passion French people have for cheese. Kathy, when I'm thinking about eating this camembert right now, it's getting a little more stinky, a little more exotic, a little stronger. I want to take it one step further. I see we're progressing now, aren't we, from a relatively mild, smooth goat into the camembert. What would be next?
We are. So the next cheese that I would suggest is the Comté, which is a hard cheese made in the Jura Mountains.
Now, the Jura are near Switzerland.
That's right. Uh-huh. Okay. And in fact, it's what's known as a Gruyère. People, of course, are familiar with Gruyère, big G.
Oh, this is like, it's like Swiss cheese without the holes.
Sort of, yeah. So what we think of as Swiss cheese here in the U.S. is, you know, the Gruyère with the big G. But Gruyère is actually a type of cheese in the way that cheddar is a type of cheese. So the Comté is a type of Gruyère. It just means that it's a cheese that's been cooked and then pressed during its making process.
Now, would this be more of an Alpine cheese?
It's from the Jura, so it's not Alpine, but there's a wonderful Gruyère that the Alps are known for that's called Beaufort, which is very similar cheese.
And that's because I know when you go into the Swiss Alps, they say, Alpkäse. And then you can get young and old. And the older it gets, the sharper it gets until it's really an amazing strength.
Yeah, and the one you have there is has been aged about 16 months, I do believe, and probably has some like nice nutty and caramelized onion undertones.
Well, let me just hang on a sec here. Nutty, caramelized. Yeah, I'm not sure about nutty, but I can tell the caramelized, and I wouldn't have noticed that had you not explained for me to look at that.
The other thing you might be encountering are little crunchy cheese crystals in there. Are you getting any?
Let me just see.
Tyrosine clusters.
Well, yeah, much more in this than in the goat cheese we tried or the camembert. I can see that.
Yeah, they wouldn't occur in those cheeses, but they're called tyrosine clusters, and they're clusters of amino acids, and they almost taste a little bit like cheese candy, and you get them in the really well-aged hard cheeses. They're one of my favorite things about cheese.
So we're talking Comté there, and that's near the Swiss part of France. And great thing
that's
about France is it's surrounded by, you know, Germany, Spain, Italy, and Switzerland, and it's a mesh of different cultures, and I suppose that shows through in the cheese-making traditions. When you think about traditional cheese-making, I think of a little hut high in the Alps or a cave like we were talking about, I guess, in Normandy where the camembert was, and people will come in there and lovingly brush the cheese and flip it over and age it. Talk for a moment about aging cheese in the traditional French way.
Yeah, they do, and Comté is actually a really interesting cheese when it comes to aging, because the way that cheese developed in Comté, it was very communal. They would make cheeses together in the village. They would make this big cheese, and then as time went on, they started aging it communally as well. And so one of the places I visited was called Saint-Antoine. It's the Marcel Petit Fromageries in the Jura, and it's this underground fort that they've converted into a cheese aging facility. And they have 100,000 rounds of Comté just in this one facility.
100,000 rounds of Comté?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
And this stuff is so good. 100,000 rounds of it.
Yes.
That's an industry.
Exactly. And it's a fabulous thing to see. You can tour the facility. And they do this is a bit surprising to people sometimes, but because they have so many rounds now, it's really impossible to go on flipping, all those rounds need to be flipped and brushed, as you were just saying, mm-hmm. Often several times a day, depending on where they are in their aging process. And so they use robotics, these robotic machines to do that. And you'll see them as you're touring it. They go up and down the aisles, and they've got this kind of hydraulic whooshing sound going on as they flip the cheeses.
Okay, enough technology. I'm hungry. We want to go to the next part of our cheese course here. Where would we progress from the comp?
Okay, it's kind of a toss-up. The two you have there, one is called a préféré de fromis, which is a name that I'm assuming the cheesemaker has invented. It's really like a reblochon, which is a well-known cheese from the Alps.
Well, this is just a classic stinky cheese. It's already sort of melting on my plate here, and it's easy to spread.
Right, yeah. Yeah, it's probably got kind of an orangey hue to the rind.
Yeah, and the creamy inside, it's sort of like the melted butter of beautiful cheese, it seems like, or some kind of a... I'm going to just try it here.
I was going to say, it sounds like you're edging towards that one, so let's go with that one first. Mm.
Okay, that's a stronger flavor. How does it get it? Why does this have a stronger flavor than some of the others?
Yes, so it's a washed rind cheese. And what they do is during the aging process, they wipe the surface of it down with, it can be various things depending upon the cheese. It's usually some type of a mix of water and maybe bits of old cheese. This makes kind of this bacterial stew, or sometimes they'll put a bit of alcohol in there. And it encourages a type of bacteria called Bravobacterium linens to grow. And that is the same bacteria that makes your feet stink and your armpit smell.
I smelled a little bit of foot in there, yeah. And that's because they've stimulated the bacteria to just do its thing with a little more vigor.
That is right, yeah.
So they've really done this intentionally. And for a person that doesn't like stinky cheese, well, you want to stay away from this. But I would think the mark of a good cheese taster is somebody who gets off on this. Excuse me, Matt.
Yes, it absolutely is. And in fact, if a French person asks you what type of cheese you like, you should definitely pick a washed rind cheese because they'll be most impressed.
Oh, that's a good tip, a washed rind, yes.
Yes, okay. So say a Nepoise or something along those lines. It's readily available in the U.S.
Now, we've gone through the whole gamut, but there's one more cheese facing me here. And I understand you finish with the blue cheese, is that right?
Yes, typically. This one is a milder blue cheese, which is why I was saying that, you know, was a bit of a toss-up between this one and the last one you tasted. So if it were a Roquefort, I would always end with the Roquefort. Roquefort tends to be pretty strong.
Okay. This is Roquefort light kind. It's the Forme d'Aubert.
It is, yeah. Mm. And it's from the Massif Central. It's from the Auvergne region.
You got this great, it's got the green or the blue moldy bits in it, and at a glance you go, oh, that's going to be very, very, very tasty, like blue cheese and Roquefort.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And is it tasting milder to you than a Roquefort, would you say? Or
yeah, it's not as sharp as a Roquefort, but it has, clearly it's in that family.
Yeah. Yeah, we went with that one because lots of people tend, when they hear blue cheese, you know, French blue cheese, they automatically think Roquefort, but there's actually quite a number of different blue cheeses in France, so we kind of wanted to explore.
And for a lot of people, a little of that probably goes a long way.
I love blue cheese. I could sit around eating blue cheese all day. But some people, just a little bit is enough.
Kathy, I would imagine sometimes you can actually get too strong of a cheese. Have you ever encountered a cheese that you just thought, whoa, not for human consumption?
Yeah, I did unfortunately have that experience. I was in Corsica and I had a cheese they make, and it was in fact a washed rind cheese. I won't name it for fear of embarrassing the poor Corsicans who do make marvelous cheeses, but this particular cheese was really, really strong, and I unwrapped it, and it smelled like dead feet, and it kind of tasted that way too. Mm. So I chucked that one.
And that wasn't necessarily a bad piece of cheese. It was a piece of cheese that just didn't fit your idea of what you wanted to eat. Is that right? Or was it? Yeah. Would it be just a bad piece of cheese?
No, I think that was how it was meant to be. It just was, it was a little too much for me. The other thing that I've had in France that I've found a little bit too much for me, and people don't realize this, but you can actually dry goat cheese. They make hard goat cheeses in France. They make hard goat cheeses in this country now as well, but you can let them get really, really old. And I had one of those once, and it tasted, texture-wise, it was kind of like a Parmesan, but it tasted very, very strong, and I found it to not be to my liking.
And with the wine. Now, do you think much about pairing this with wine, or do you bring out a special wine, or how do you, if you want to get the most out of this cheese course, how would you gild the lily here?
Yeah, usually the standard advice is to pair with a wine that comes from the region. Mm-hmm. So, for example, the Comté you were tasting earlier, you would go with a white Jurassien wine with that. It varies, though, from region to region, because the Camembert, for example, actually the traditional pairing isn't wine but hard cider, which tastes really fabulous with Camembert.
Hard cider.
And then,
well, that would make sense because that's the Normandy thing. You got cider and you got your Camembert.
Exactly. That is exactly correct, yes.
Well, I would say out of all of this, you know, I'm a sucker for blue cheese, but I think the Préféré de Fourmi, that's the washed cheese, what do you call that?
Really? The stinky rind one.
The stinky rind one.
I
like that. We've done the whole gamut here. And when we're traveling anywhere in France, when you look at the menu in a nicer restaurant or a traditional restaurant, you'll have that option. Even on some fixed price menus where you get three courses, you can replace the dessert with a cheese course. Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful thing that travelers should adventure into, wouldn't you say?
Yes, I absolutely agree. If it's something that you tend to steer away from because you're a little bit intimidated by the French cheese, I would say don't be. The great thing about cheese is you just have to eat, you know, you just stick it in your mouth. It's really not, it shouldn't be that intimidating.
Little bits with a little sip of wine, and then also you'll get some honey and some pears and some nuts on it in a nice restaurant.
Yes.
It's one of those opportunities to, it's the great equalizer. It doesn't matter how you're dressed. It doesn't matter how much money you've got. If you sit down in front of a great cheese course in a nice Parisian restaurant or French restaurant, it's hard to get much happier than that.
Mm-hmm. The French will tell you that, you know, I said earlier, they call it the soul of the soil, and they really feel like it's the essence of the French countryside. It's a way to get a little bit of that, even if you are someplace like Paris.
I like that, to get the essence of the countryside. Mm-hmm. Just as France is the most diverse country in a lot of ways you'll find in Europe, it's got a huge diversity of cheese. What are there, 600 different varieties of cheese or something like that? Everywhere you go in France, you should probably make a point to be passionate about going with the local cheese. At least give it a shot, because that's where you'll experience the pride of the local people and that terroir of drinking a wine and eating a cheese and being served by people all who grew up in that same beautiful soil.
Absolutely.
We've been talking with Kathy Lyson. Her book is The Whole Fromage. Kathy, let's finish with you just explaining, here in the United States, if you want to put a cheese course together and you want to spice in some French cheeses in a very, very basic and simple way, what are the five cheeses you'd put on the cheese course?
It's hard if you're going for specific cheeses. I would recommend going for types. So
right.
Got there, I would go for a goat cheese, and then I would probably get a soft cheese like a Camembert or a Brie. Mm-hmm. I would get a hard cheese like a Gruyère, Comté, something along those lines. And then you might want to get a stinky cheese, just if for nothing more than a conversation starter.
Yeah.
And then, of course, a blue. But the best way, if you're feeling a little lost, is to really ask. If you're lucky enough to have a cheese shop nearby, you can go in and ask the cheesemongers. They'll be more than happy to help you find some appropriate choices.
Sounds like good advice. And if I can recap that and tell me if I've got it right, in very simple layman's terms, you'd have five different cheeses. You'd start with your goat, then you'd go to a Camembert, then you'd go to a hard, you'd go with a stinky, and you'd finish off with a blue.
Yes.
Did I get it?
Yeah, and you don't have to have five. You could have anywhere from three to five.
Yeah, I like five.
Depending on your budget.
Hey, all right.
Yeah, five is nice.
Kathy Lyson, author of The Whole Fromage. I guess all I can say is merci and bon appetit.
Bon appetit to you as well, Rick.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced by Tim Tatton with Sarah McCormick and Isaac Kaplan-Wolner at Europe Through the Back Door in Edmonds, Washington. Thanks to the BBC News Bureau in New York and KUAT Tucson for their help this week. Our website team includes Andrew Wakeling and Kate Mulhern-Graham, and our theme music is by Jerry Frank. You'll find links to our guests plus audio archives and program extras in the radio section of our website, ricksteves.com. Join us again next week for an international Christmas party on Travel with Rick Steves.
Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. Tips about traveling in Europe and information about the EU are available at euintheus.org.